Water usage rights can have a significant impact on area economies. GrowHaze Executive Director Doug Williams stops by to share some information about the recent R9 ranch ruling and its impact on the area economy on this episode of the Post Podcast. I'm very excited to see you. We got a big topic we're going to hit on today. As we were talking, as we were getting ready here, not a lot of conversations that we've had, at least yet, about this, but the R9 ruling finally came out and came out in our favor, right?
It did. Finally. Long time coming, but it was
almost 2 years, wasn't it?
Yeah, certainly over one, for sure. Maybe a year and a half, maybe going on 2 years. But the judge did finally make a ruling, and what people need to understand is this was not a ruling that says we can or cannot have the water that we have the rights to, but was simply the judge ruled that the state, who was actually the party in the lawsuit, did follow proper procedures in going through the process of the water transfer stuff and a lot of things I don't understand. But in any case, it is a milestone. It's one more hill climbed on this long process to get access to the water down in Edwards County.
Yeah. And we have talked before, water rights and water usage is such an important piece of the economic picture and really kind of shapes the way that we develop our economy out here in Western Kansas, right?
Well, certainly, if you look around Western Kansas, you see how important water is. If you look at Southwest Kansas and some of the growth they've had in certain industries, it's primarily because they have sufficient water supply down there, although they have issues with that dwindling over time. And in our local economy, our local economic development over the years, there are certain companies and types of businesses that we cannot recruit to our area because we can't handle their water need, like a packing plant or something like that. We just don't have the water capacity. And so it does shape everything. We certainly, if you watch the news at all about Southwest United States and that kind of thing, we are not alone with water issues. And we have dealt with it a lot longer than a lot of people have.
Yeah, I was thinking exactly that. I was watching a great piece. I don't remember where it was, but it was about the Colorado River and how the water rights had been shaping and probably incorrectly divvied up over the previous century. And I was thinking they were talking about in Las Vegas, their efforts to save water, basically, conservation efforts. And I was thinking like, oh my gosh, they're doing a good job, but they're not quite even as good as we are.
No, we lead the state for sure, and maybe even a large part of the country in our water conservation efforts. Our usage per home and that kind of thing is far less than many places. So Ellis County in general does a great job of conserving water. We recognize the importance of it, and the acquisition of the R9 Ranch was a long-term plan to deal with our long-term water supply. We've got that in place and got the pipeline up here. We will be well positioned, but I don't think we'll change our attitude in terms of how we conserve water and how we deal with this invaluable resource.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to ask. This doesn't mean now we can go recruit those businesses that we hadn't historically. We just have a little bit more room to grow, I think, right?
It would give us some room to grow, and it'll allow us to flush our toilets in drought times, which we have had situations where we have discouraged that in the past, probably before you lived here. But there were times in our community where we had severe drought, and we really had to watch things, and so we didn't run out in certain days. And so that will help a great deal.
Yeah, and that's not exclusive to Hayes. I've been in meetings in Ellis and Victoria as well here in Ellis County where they have or are making efforts to connect to a secondary water supply, either another well or a rural water district, but just an effort to kind of share that resource and make sure that the water keeps flowing.
Yes, and this pipeline that will eventually be put in is Russell is a partner in this venture, and then I believe there are some arrangements in place to assist Ellis and possibly Victoria with some of this water as well. So it'll help the area as well as not just Hayes.
And there was a question I had for you, and I don't know how to frame this, but we've talked a lot about recruitment efforts, and especially coming off like the Front Range of Colorado and trying to get those folks out here. I do wonder about with this situation in some parts of the southwestern United States, can we take advantage of that? Get some of those folks out here, because there's going to have to be some, I believe, migration, that the water that's flowing to those areas is not going to continue to support the population, and those folks are going to need somewhere to go. Can they come here?
Sure. Our door is open. That leads to other, issues like housing and that kind of things. But absolutely, I think we're a great place for people to relocate to. And that's part of what our Imagine Ellis County group is charged with doing, is spreading the word about what a great place we have to live, and making sure that we know it, and those who live here know it, but those who live in other places may not know it. And so that's why we need to get that word out and help people understand what we have to offer in our community.
Yeah. We're also going to need houses. And as far as I understand, the city just released a housing survey or study that they did, right?
It's a housing study that they had commissioned, and no real big surprises in there to us. I mean, we know we have a shortfall. We know we haven't built enough over the last 10 or 12 years, and that puts us behind the eight ball. We're trying to catch up, but we're trying to catch up in a market that's not easy to build things and expensive to build things. And so that's the challenge. Last week, we took a trip up to Kearney, Nebraska, which is often compared to Hayes, very similar interstate highway town, college town, rural farming community. While they are a larger community than we are, I think they're around 34,000 people. We're around 21. They have done a much better job of dealing with housing over the years than we have. And yet, when you ask them what their biggest problem is, it's housing. They don't have enough. And so this is kind of a nationwide problem, and one that takes a little time to dig out of, but we're going to keep digging.
You know, I've wondered as we talk about this, and not that I want to try to assign blame, but was there any way that we could have seen this? And I know COVID kind of threw everything into threw it up in the air, and it all landed in different spots. But were there efforts underway, you know, say 8-9 years ago to address this, or did this really catch us off guard?
I think this goes back even to 30 years. That's the last time we had a significant downturn in our local economy. Was the late 80s. And I think at that point in time, people became very cautious. We're a pretty conservative community anyway, but people became very cautious about building things, about taking the kind of risk that it takes sometimes. And we just haven't built enough since that time. Primarily, I'm talking about apartments, but also single family homes and that kind of thing. While Kearney is 30 or 40% bigger population-wise, they have tripled our housing construction numbers for the last 10 years. And so, it's a little bit of the, if you build it, they will come. We are losing people moving to this community because we don't have the proper type of housing. And so it's a big issue, one that we need to deal with. I don't know that anybody has been as focused in terms of an organization as we are on housing before. And we're very focused on that for that reason. We aren't going to be able to grow. We aren't going to be able to recruit if we don't have a workforce, and we're not going to be able to have a workforce if we don't have housing. So it's just one of those basic things, a problem that we have to solve. And we've got to take some aggressive, proactive steps in getting it resolved.
And now we've got some water, we can do that.
Well, we will have some water.
We'll have some water.
We're probably still 4 or 5 years away from when that water would actually be here.
Why do these things take so long? We talk about this all the time. It never goes as fast as you want it to, but my goodness, it just seems like some of these things just drag on forever.
It does take a long time, and unfortunately, that's the nature of the beast. And when you get to be my age, when you don't even buy green bananas, you have a little less patience in terms of waiting for these things. But we just have to do the best we can. And I think we could do better as a community in terms of housing and a lot of other areas too. And we just need to keep fighting every day to get some things done.
Absolutely. And there are some, especially on the housing front, some really great efforts going on right now. And I know we've talked a lot about the efforts that you guys are doing there at Grow Hayes, but also just some private construction guys out there building as fast as they can.
Definitely. We talk about it all the time. The Tallgrass addition with 36 homes going up out there, the apartments complexes that are going up either currently or will be. And yet that's still not enough. You know, we need to push for more apartment construction, and particularly the right type of construction. You know, I've always said that we lack a little bit of imagination in Hayes in terms of what we build, because we've been able to get away with it for all these years. But if you look in other places, you see different types of housing with different amenities and, you know, different configurations. A lot of two-car garage apartment-type rentals. We have virtually none in this community, unless you rent a house that might have a two-car garage. And good luck with finding that. So we've got to do a better job of that, too. We can't just continue to build the same old thing. We need some variety.
Absolutely. Yeah, I tell you just real quickly, one of my favorite places I lived in, it wasn't in Hayes. It was exactly that. It was a two-story with a basement duplex, yeah, with a two-car garage. Yeah. And it was just an amazing house. Shared a little backyard with the neighbors. But yeah, nothing like this in Hayes or like that.
There isn't, and it's difficult to deliver that now to the market because it's so expensive, and the rent really won't justify the cost. So who's going to make that kind of investment when their return on that investment isn't going to be very good? But we've just got to overcome that, and I think that there are people out there that will pay a little bit more rent if they can get the right thing that suits their needs.
Absolutely. You know, I wonder, too, do we need to, as a community, really look at some of the more dilapidated areas and talking about getting rid of homes in order to build apartment buildings? And I'm thinking specifically kind of around the college and some of those older houses that, they've been used and abused by college students for decades. And would it benefit us just to get those out of there and build some apartment buildings?
Perhaps. And some of that has happened. And you certainly see it in other communities where that happens a lot, in college towns. One of the problems we have right now is when you have virtually a 0% vacancy rate, everything rents. And so even the stuff that isn't very nice rents. And if you have more variety and you have a greater selection, some of those don't rent. It does create a situation where those might be available for rehab or to be knocked down and something else put up. But as long as they're renting, an owner is not going to be very motivated to sell that at a price that can make it work in terms of knocking it down and building something new.
You know, I'm also curious about with the bond issue that passed. Now we're going to be vacating some buildings, USD 49 is. We've seen apartments being built in those old buildings previously. Do you think there's going to be more of those kind of developments coming in?
I do. I think those buildings are suitable for remodel. If I went through the Washington School building, and while it's been converted from a school to residences, and they did a great job, it's interesting that it still looks an awful lot like a school. Some of that they did on purpose to maintain the kind of the aesthetics of a school, but those are very substantial structures. There are a lot of incentive money for that kind of thing, whether it's historical tax credits or grants and that kind of thing, that make it possible. So I believe we will see some more of those converted to housing, like Lincoln School would be one that comes to mind immediately. And that's a big school.
I was going to say, yeah, that's exactly why I drive by that every day to get here to the studios. And I just think about how many apartments you could actually get in that building because it's so big.
You could put a lot of apartments in there.
Absolutely.
It would be well suited for that use.
Let's hope it comes to pass.
We'll work on it.